You're listening to the AHTB Cyrils and Orsies podcast. Highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to the AHTB Cyrils and Orsies Harvest podcast. I'm Eleanor Holdsworth and today I'm with Rick Davies in the Ouse Valley in Bedfordshire. Is that right?
Yep,
Bedfordshire.
Right.
Rick hosts AHTB's Northampton Monitor Farm here. It's the 18th of July and we're currently in the tractor cab while he's cutting oilseed rape. It hasn't rained since when?
The 29th of May. So we had 68 mil in May and we've had zero since. So it's been, what, seven pushing 8 weeks.
And how are things looking in general here?
To be fair, I'm fairly happy at the minute. A couple of weeks ago, I was really quite disheartened by the way the state of the crops were going off. The spring barley's looking pretty average on some of the lighter ground, but in the main, I'm fairly happy. Some of the wheats, I think, are going to have some potential, and others are going to be average to poor. But I think given the circumstances, given the year, I think we're going to be on for an average year. Our five-year average for oilseed rape is about 3.7 tonnes a hectare, and I wasn't expecting anything over 3.5 this year, but we're averaging about 3.75, so I'm pretty happy with that. I was really quite disheartened by the state of some of our heavier land. Oilseed rape was looking fairly poor, but yeah, I'm really pleased in the main.
For those of our listeners who hasn't maybe heard of your farm before, can you tell us just a bit about it?
Yeah, so we're a predominantly arable farm, about 360 cropped hectares, spreading over a range of soil types, so sand and gravel to clay loam, across to a corn brash, and then silt down by the floodplain. So we've got a huge range of soil types and cropping oilseed rape, winter wheat and spring barley. So end markets, our spring barley, we're on contract with Glencore to Budweiser, so we're growing Explorer malting barley, which is a high nitrogen contract. Our oilseed rape is a whole rape, which again is on contract with Glencore, which goes into high temperature frying, i.e. McDonald's and KFC. And then our wheat, we're all Group 1 milling wheats, and majority of that goes to Haygate's flour mill in Bugbrook, which is 15 miles away.
Do you drink Budweiser?
I drink more now than I used to, yeah.
Is it good knowing that it could be from your farm, essentially?
It is, yeah. It's probably the primary reason I drink more of it. It's just nice to have a bit of a story. It's a shame, no disrespect to Budweiser, but it's a shame it's not a craft beer or a real ale.
Is there like much craft beer brewing going on around in Bedfordshire or the Ouse Valley here?
Yeah, there's a few microbreweries set up in the last couple of years, but it's really hard. It's a really niche market, and it's really hard sort of market to get in a big way because they're requiring such small tonnages.
Do you think it's something that you'd like to get into?
I've often talked about it. Yeah, again, it's a time factor, something else to look at. But yeah, I would definitely love to do that.
So what is it that you do here that you're really proud about?
I think just running the family farm, being a fourth generation farmer and taking the family business forward, I suppose, and hopefully, touch wood, to be there for the next generation and setting it up for the next generation. Like, I don't just want to stand still, I want to try and push it forward as much as possible. Not just the farm, but diversification as well, just so we're as risk averse as we can be.
How old is your next generation at the moment?
She is 2 days off her first birthday.
Oh, congratulations. Has she shown any interest in farming yet?
She has a toy tractor, which she managed to throw around the room, but that's about as far as it goes.
So I know there's not really a normal day when it comes to farming, but can you talk us through your harvest days at the moment, like when you start, when you finish, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we're only 3 days into harvest, really. It's always quite full-on to start with because there's jobs that you thought you hadn't, or there's jobs you thought you'd done but you hadn't done properly, or things that need tweaking or repairing, having sat in the shed over the winter. So the standard day at the minute is start at 7, come to the farm, get the grain dryer plant going, whether it's drying or whether it's cleaning. This year we haven't had to dry anything, thank God. But it's run that through, get the cleaner going, and then diesel up the combine, clean out the filters and start servicing up. In the meantime, sort out, got a lad called Matt who's working for us at the minute, make sure he's okay and get him cultivating. At some point, go and feed my cattle, check they've got some silage because at the minute they have no grass. So go and give them 2 or 3 bales of silage to keep them going through the day. Check they've got water. And then today we started combining at 8:30, which is, we're trying to combine as early as possible because the moisture's well, because the moisture is very dry. So we're trying to get the most of the dew in the morning and keep the moisture up. And then we'll start combining. Yeah, so start combining 8:30. And then my job at the minute is just carting the oilseed right back to the yard, keeping an eye on the plant and the cleaner, and making sure the chaff's emptied. At the minute, I've got a broken phone, so I'm trying to get to the office as much as I can in between loads, try and get through my emails and try and ring people for spare parts and wearing metal. And then in the afternoon, evening, I'll change with Dad, sort of 8:30, 9:00 at night. I went to 1:00 last night, again, trying to make the most of the damp in the evening. And then, yeah, find some tea at some point and then go to bed.
What's your favourite crop to harvest?
I think it has to be wheat. Wheat is kind of the mainstay of the majority of arable farms, and I think because everyone's trying to achieve that, well, the average of 10 tonne, the magical 12, 13 tonnes a hectare, and it seems to be the thing that everyone measures themselves on. Rape is such a fickle crop. Spring barley can have its moment, but this year is not going to be very glorious. But wheat's just such a clean crop to harvest. It's quick. You can get a lot of tons in the shed very quickly, and the combine's at its most efficient. So,
when do you think you'll start cutting wheat this year?
Current plan is tomorrow, hopefully. There was forecast rain for Friday, but I'm hoping it's going to clear through. And we've got some Gallant, which is Group One wheat variety, which on some of the light land is really gone off quickly. So I'm hoping to get some of that in the shed before we get any rain.
So there's been a lot of talk of fire safety recently with all the super dry weather. How do you stay safe at harvest time?
I think just got to be really vigilant. You've really got to be quite alert as to the dust around machinery. Basically, we've been checking the combine sort of three times a day, sort of mid-morning, lunchtime, and then late afternoon. And then when you shut down at night, just make sure I sort of stand with the machine for sort of 10, 15 minutes just to look out for any signs of smoke or smells. So on the combine, we're carrying two fire extinguishers, a can of water up by the engine bay, and then we've got a fire extinguisher on each tractor as well. So it's just trying to be vigilant, really.
Is that what you normally do, or are you more vigilant this year because of the weather?
I think more so this year. But I think we probably should be this vigilant everywhere, because it is such a high risk. And we have had small fires on the combine over the last, certainly two out of the last 3 years. And it's always dry this time of year, but it is tinder dry at the minute. So I think going forward, we need to probably be this vigilant, really, and really treat it as a huge risk.
Can you tell us a bit about your machinery that you've got working at the moment?
Yeah, so our combine is Massey Ferguson 7280, 25-foot, 8-walker machine. We've had it for 4 years. Dad has had a Massey combine since he was 13, and he's now 69, turning 70 in 3 weeks' time. And he's vowed he'd never have another combine. So the Massey's done us well, but I think it could well be our last. We've had a major breakdown at the weekend, which it's cost us a few quid. And then we're currently carting grain on a John Deere 6430, which is my loader tractor. And we've also wheeled out the old Massey 3085 on the other grain trailer. And then we've got a John Deere 7530, which does most of the heavy work, although we've got a demonstrator Deutz here for 2 days at the minute. We're just trying to see what's out there for the next change.
When I talked to Harry recently, he was saying about how maybe more people should start looking at hiring in combines. What do you think about that?
It's a really serious sort of conversation. It's something that I've been thinking about the last few days, having had the breakdown with our machine. It's something I'd really like to look at this winter. You know, we're not envisaging changing ours another 3 or 4 years possibly, but it's something I'd like to look at, because I just think the risks of running your own machine and the cost of repairs is so unpredictable. So I think hiring machines are a definite option.
Is that something that you'll be looking at through the Monitor Farm programme?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to include it. I think we're doing a machinery topic in December, so it'd be nice to include it in that, and I'll try and get some figures available for that. But now we've got our figures back from Stratton Parker on our machinery profile, and then I can sort of get some figures, and we can then compare against what it's been costing us to run our machine.
How do you feel about the figures that you got back?
I'm really pleased. I've only had a quick glance, but I'm really quite happy, actually. It's always quite, makes you quite nervous, because you're never quite sure how you're going to feature or how you're going to compare against like-for-like farm or another farm. But I'm really pleased. We seem to be in the top or the bottom 25, depending on how you look at it. Our fixed costs for all operations across the whole farm is £353 a hectare, which I'm really quite pleased with, to be honest.
So how do you feel about the Monitor Farm programme now that you've officially launched?
Yeah, I'm pleased with it. The first meeting went really well. I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know who was going to turn up, what kind of numbers are going to be. I didn't want it to be a lot of effort for a poor show. And I'm really pleased we had 55 on the night. I also hosted a small farm meeting on the Monday as a warm-up. We had 15 to that. So I'd like to think that with the 15 and the 55, we could have had 70-odd. But I'm really pleased with it. It's gone really well. There was loads of good feedback. I mean, I want it to be mutually beneficial, but I felt that first meeting was probably more for my benefit. I've probably learned a lot more through people doing a SWOT analysis on our business. But it's just good to see what people's views are, because it's so easy just to carry on year in, year out, doing same old or a very similar thing. And it's so nice to get fresh ideas, fresh opinion, fresh outlook from outsiders who wouldn't ordinarily like to comment on your business, because that's not the done thing in agriculture. Not to your face, anyway.
What other things that HDB does do you find particularly useful?
If I'm honest, I never really quite realised or appreciated the amount of resource behind the HDB. I think I really like the way that they're basically a catalyst to getting farmers, talking to farmers, talking to experts in the industry. I think they've got some great connections and great spokespeople in the industry, and I think they've got a really good background with a lot of industry experts. So I think there's a lot of potential going forward.
Can you remember your earliest harvest here?
I think I was about six. I had some friends from school came over to stay for the night, and we were coal mining down by the river. My grandpa was baling, and we all messed around in the straw and the straw stack in the corner of the field. But yeah, it seems a long time ago now, and things have come a long way since then.
What was your first working harvest here like?
From the age of 13, I was allowed to drive a tractor. When I was a kid, when I was 13, there was just myself, my dad and my brother. We were 500 acres at the time. When I was 13, Dad said, right, you can go off. So I did all the ploughing that year. So from the age of 13, I did all the ploughing. My brother used to corn cart, and Dad would do the corn mining. So that was my first big year on the farm, I suppose. And it all seemed to go pretty well. I thrived on responsibility and loved it, really. I want to look back since, and sometimes I still feel like I'm 13, the way things go with Dad sometimes, but anyway.
I think we all feel like that. What's the best and worst harvests you've had here?
So the best harvest would have been 2014. 2014 was the best harvest. 2012, the harvest wasn't horrendous. We were quite lucky. We were in a bit of a pocket, and we had better yields than some, but it wasn't good. 2014 was our best. We averaged about 11.6 tonne a hectare of wheat, 4.2 tonnes of rape, and the first year we'd grown barley, we had a couple of fields do 9.5 tonnes a hectare, so it was phenomenal. 15 was good as well, and then 16 was fairly average, but we've not had... I came back in 2012, probably 2012 would actually be our worst record so far, but we haven't got into the wheat and the barley yet this year, so we shall see.
Yeah. What piece of new technology do you think has made the most difference to your harvesting?
We've had GPS on two tractors now for 4 years on one and 2 years on the other. And last year we managed to set up another kit so we could transfer from the drilling tractor to the combine. And that's been fantastic, really. It's really made a huge difference. Just in terms of efficiency of the combining, you're maximising your output. And secondly, you can cut up a field, you can make a land, new land, and you don't end up having any wastage or any narrow piece at the end. So that's been a huge change, to be fair. And then second to that would be probably the iPad and soil variable rate seeding up capability.
What kind of things do you use your iPad for when you're harvesting?
Normally, when we come on, I'll have my soil sense on, and I'll go around and I'll map various areas of wet areas where I've got poor crop, areas where I've got weed issues, whether it's cleavers or blackgrass, oats, brome. So I mark them on there. I have it on the sprayer as well, so I'm sort of doing that as I'm going through the year. But sometimes at harvest, you don't always see things from the sprayer until you get the crop off the ground.
Talking of seeing things, have you found any like amazing ancient earthworks in your fields because of all the dry weather?
We have, yeah. We 2 days before the Monitor Farm walk, we had my local Bayer rep came round with a drone, and we could just see a few things in a field where we knew we had a crop circle. And he put it up, and we found. I knew we had one crop circle. We didn't. We found two down on the floodplain by the river. We had one of them dug back in about 30 years ago, and one of them's an Iron Age fort. And we think the other one is as well. They're both exactly the same size, with ditches around, and they're Incredible, but they've really become prevalent this year.
Have you got the local archaeologists on it?
They've already been. It's already actually a designated site, but we didn't realise there was two. And we've also got a Roman site as well on the farm, which is there's a group of three Roman hut circles. But they were in Norsey Rake this year, so you couldn't see them.
Do you get detectorists coming and asking for permission?
Yeah, we get no end. It's dulling down now because people have accepted that they can't come. But we had for a period of maybe 10, 15 years, we probably had three or four people coming every summer. But since we don't plough anymore, or very limited, it's not as appealing to them because, A, the ground's too hard. We're not overturning new soil every year. They're not finding as many things, so they stopped coming, thankfully.
Do you think direct drill will be the end of amateur detectorists?
It could well be, yeah, unless it's a very wet year. It's a shame because there is so much to be had. There's so much that we don't know. But we have, in that one field, we have the Roman villas. They've found over 1,000 Roman coins and bits of jewellery, which are all in a local museum in Oney now. But it's incredible what is down there.
Back to farming a bit more. What do you wish someone had told you when you first started farming or harvesting?
This year or in life?
In life. So if there was someone new starting out, what piece of advice would you give them that someone should have given you and didn't?
I think it's something that I've learned over the years is that early on in my career, I suppose, I'm still relatively young, but early on you get a bad year, you get quite despondent. It's quite frustrating that you've grown these crops for between 6 and 11 months and then you get to harvest and that's the day you harvest it is D-Day. And it's very easy to get sort of despondent and quite down. But one of my old bosses in Lincolnshire told me once, he said, it's the only good thing with farming is that you've always got next year. You've always got another year. You've always got next year to improve on, next year to do things differently. And I think you've got to be positive. As disappointed as I am with some of our rape yields in places this year, you just know that I couldn't have done any better really this year. And the weather has been pivotal in everything that we've got and everything we've got to show for. So that's one good thing, is that it's out of your hands. But at the same time, it's trying to future-proof your business to reduce those impacts going forward. But
what do you think harvesting will be like in 100 years' time?
It's so difficult. Having seen the robots and the GPS-led the computer-driven tractors in the States, I do think that's the future, whether we like it or not. It's going to have its complications as well, which I think is going to be extremely tricky in built-up areas and in places where you've got footpaths across fields, where you've got people potentially interfering. But I think that is going to be the future. You look back 100 years from where we are now, and in 1918 we were in the midst of war, and the things couldn't be any different. There were sort of tractors were a new thing, or traction engines were a huge thing back then. And you can't imagine how things can change so much in the last 100 years. You can't imagine that same change could happen again. But I think it will. It's just going to be in a very different format and very, very technology orientated. And computers and algorithms and data are just going to be the key to everything. We'll be measuring everything wherever possible. Sometimes whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But fundamentally, I think the soil is still the key. And I think unless we can unlock the true potential of the soil, then I don't think productivity will potentially increase much. It'll just be efficiencies and scales will change.
Is there a piece of technology that you wish existed but doesn't?
I wish there was a machine that could literally set to in the grain store and it could clean it top to bottom, every square inch of every bit of dust, cobweb, and just leave it in there for a week and it can just get on with it.
It sounds like that's your least favourite job.
Yeah, I finished about 10 days ago and I had 3 days in there, and for some reason it was the least fun this year it's been for years. It's not, I don't know what it is about the job, but it's got to be done.
So finally, how will you celebrate cutting the last of your crops this year?
So we normally celebrate, we all get together no matter what we're all doing. So the harvest team, when we're in the wheat or the barley, will be myself, Dad, my brother, Matt, and a possible part-time called Andy who carts for us as well when we're at the other farm. So Mum will normally bring down a few beers and we'll sit in the corner, have a beer, have a sandwich, have a team photo, and then usually, unless I'm desperate to go drilling rape, we'll go home, put everything in the shed, call it a night, and and all have dinner together is the plan.
Sounds nice. Well, I hope it goes really well this year. I think that's pretty much it for this episode. So thank you very much, Rick. And yeah, good luck with the rest of harvest. And thank you to all our listeners as well. So join us again in a week for the next In Our Combine Time mini-series. And if you'd like to get hold of AHDB's harvest resources, go to cereals.ahdb.org.uk/harvest or read down in the podcast episode notes.